Joshua chapter 3, somebody's going to be blessed today. Verse 5, okay? It says, then Joshua said to the people, amen, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want to talk about this morning, it's time for change. How to proceed with change, but how to proceed spiritually with change. Turn to your neighbor and say, how to proceed spiritually with change. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for the blessings from your word today. Speak, God, we're listening. I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, create in me, Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Bless now each and every person here today. May the word go into their hearts, God, and may it come out in their living. Touch somebody. Thank you for saving those two people this morning on Periscope, Father God. Lord, we don't go for popularity. We go with the word of God. Lord, the fact that the word touched their hearts and they wanted to be saved tells me, Father God, that you're still in the saving business. So would you right now, in the name of Jesus, touch our hardened hearts, Father God. Break down those barriers in our hearts, Father God, that so divide us, Father God, from you, Lord. And let something be said here right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that will transform, Father God, our lives so that we can live, God, Father, in such a way that would be pleasing unto you, Lord. Would you speak today, Lord, from your word today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Thank you, ushers. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How to proceed with change spiritually. How to proceed spiritually. Amen. It's time. It's time. How many of you can say it's time? It's time. It's time, Pastor. It's time. It's time for change. I'm tired of being the same way all the time. I'm tired of, amen, being paralyzed and stuck. I'm tired of feeling hopeless. Amen. I want to proceed with the necessary changes in my life, but what I found out from God is that in his word, he gives us the solution. He unlocks the doors for us. He answers the call. He fixes the puzzles in my life. He shows me, amen, what it takes. But the question is, do I have the fortitude? Do I have the strength? Do I have the spiritual wisdom, amen, to know how to proceed, amen, with change? I used to think that change was all about me, but I realized that without God, come on somebody, without God, change is impossible. And I told you last week, that a week before, that if you want to proceed with change, you cannot become careless spiritually. All right. I told you that you cannot become too comfortable. Oftentimes we go a little ways and we become comfortable with the change that we're trying to apply in our lives. I told you what you're going to need if you're going to change, if you're going to proceed with change, you're going to need discernment. But also you'll need God's assurance. Oftentimes, most people don't believe that their spiritual life can affect their physical life. I want to say to somebody here today, your spiritual life is so critical to your life, to change, and it's so critical to your journey that if you neglect your spiritual life, amen, you and I will live a very frustrated life. How many of you here today would say that today I want change? How many of you have actually put into practice what you have to do, but then you slip right back? Come on, somebody. Amen. Right back to where you were. Right back, amen, to living the same old way. Right back to feeling defeated. Right back to feel to doubting. Right back to saying, I don't know if this is even possible. Change is possible. Because God made us, amen, the way he made us. But God made this world in a way that it changes. I wish I had somebody. The way God made everything, the earth changes. Seasons change. Listen, we're not still listening to 8-tracks. Come on, somebody. We're not playing records. Come on, somebody. We're not just doing, you know, the things we used to do. Come on, somebody. Now, if you're still listening to records, then that's cool. I get you like vinyls. But listen, they're not even doing CDs anymore. It's iPod and, come on, somebody, and MP3s and podcasts. And change is inevitable. And oftentimes what happens to us, saints, is that we sometimes fail to look at our lives and realize that we want to live the old way. Watch this. We want change, but we still want to live the old way because we've become comfortable. Do I have anybody? And there's somebody here this morning. I want to say something to you, and I want you to write this down. Change is a very delicate process. Change is a very delicate process. And if it's not done in such a way that glorifies God, listen, I'm not sure what you're trying to change in your life today, but whatever it is, I want to say this to you, God is able to do it. Do I have anybody? We've looked at strategies. We've talked about the steps that were needed in order to proceed with change. Amen. But the step that we're going to take today towards change is spiritual. I'm saying one more time. It's what? It's spiritual. And oftentimes Jesus talks about this. Whatever you bind on earth, come on somebody, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And oftentimes we want change, but we're not willing to release. Come on, somebody. We're not willing to release everything to God. Somebody here this morning, I want to say this to you. You're holding on to the old way of life, and you want this new life, but God is saying that you cannot mix. It's either you're going to love one, come on, somebody, or hate the other. Because serving two is hard to do. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to get this. We're going to get this today. Amen. Amen. Touch your neighbor, man. We're going to get this. We're going to get this. So watch this. The Israelites, amen, did not cross the Jordan unorganized. That's where we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 3. In Joshua chapter 3, we find that the children of Israel is getting ready. This is the second generation. Amen. The first generation was a bad example. Amen. They murmured. They complained. They worshiped idols. They lived for the world. And watch this. And yet they said, what did God do for us? Hello, God brought you out of Egypt. God gave you a better life. But in the midst of coming into Canaan, because remember where they're going, they're headed to Canaan. Now, here's what I want to say to you. If you're going to change, you got to have a vision. That's the first thing you need. Second thing you need to have a purpose. Amen. You need a vision and you need a purpose. And then the third thing you need is you're going to need God. Amen. Now, I should have said you're going to need God first, but I just wanted you to get that, all right? All right? You're going to need a vision. You're going to need a purpose. And what you're going to need? You're going to need God. And you're going to need God's direction. Because wherever you're going and whatever you're trying to change, God will make the way for you to get there. Now, we find that the children of Israel are getting ready to cross the Jordan. Now, the Jordan River, amen, was not like the Red Sea. Now, we find that Joshua is very strategic. He's very strategic. Look at verse 1. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning. And I preached all of this, so you should be familiar with this. And he and all the sons of Israel went out from Shittim. I told you the Shittim there is the valley. Amen. Some of us been in the valley. Amen. You want change, you got to get out the valley. You cannot live in the valley. You cannot believe that you were born to be in the valley. God did not create you to be in the valley. You're passing through the valley. You're being transformed in the valley. You're being changed in the valley so that you can go to where God wants you. Are you with me? He says, and they came to the Jordan and lodged there before they crossed. Some of us, when we come to our changing point, we don't stop. We keep going. And that's why we sink. Amen. Now, notice what they said. The text says, they came to the Jordan, and rather than jump into the river and swim over, they said, man, we need to think about this. I'm talking to somebody. Stop being so irrational all the time. Stop making changes based on your emotion. Stop being so emotional about your change that when you go to make a change in your life, you regret it later because, watch this, it was all based on emotion and not on what God told you to do. Well, God told me to do this after you messed up. So what did they do? They camped there. Look at verse 2. It says, and at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place to go after it. We talked about all that, right? You got to follow your spiritual leader if you're going to change. All right? You got to make sure that you keep your distance, though, because watch what he says. He says in verse 3. He says, verse 4, he says, however, there shall be between you and it a distance of 2,000 cubic measures. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you shall go, for you have not passed, watch this way before. And watch this, it's critical that when you're getting ready to implement change, you got to remember you ain't never been there before. But I want to tell you who been there before. God's been there before. God knows where you're going. And this is why, I'm laying all this out to bring to this point. This is why you have to prepare spiritually. This is why you have to know where you are spiritually. And the question this morning is, where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Are you in tune or are you out of tune or you need a tune up or you know what I mean? You need a fix up. You need something. You need an injection this morning. What you need this morning in your spiritual life? You need surgery. Some of us need surgery this morning because spiritually we're sick. Are you with me? And so Joshua goes on now in verse 5 and look what he says. Look what he says. He says, then Joshua said to the people. Hello, somebody. Consecrate. Now, let's talk about this word for a minute. This is a word that people don't use in church anymore. You know what most people are coming to church for today? They're coming to get a motivational speech. What they're coming for is to hear not a sermon, they're coming to hear a talk. That's what they're calling it now. They're coming to hear a talk. A talk about what? A talk about something. About life. About how to fix things and how to mend things and how to get along with your wife and how to get along with your husband and how to get along with people in the world and things like that. But oftentimes what's missing in church today is the preaching of God's word. He says to them, before you cross over here, even though you're looking at the priest and you're following the word of God, which is the Ark of the Covenant, he says, consecrate yourself. Now that word consecrate means to dedicate. It means to be hallowed, to be set apart. Here you go. I'm going for the big bomb. You ready? Ready for the big bomb? Y'all ready? Let me hide behind the pulpit. The podium. They ain't called the pulpit no more. They call the podium. Holy. You hear that word? Come on, let's say it together. Oh, shoot. Oh, man, I owe you a dollar. 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 I told him every time he says shoot, he owe me a dollar. Yeah, you sure do. That's right. You owe me a dollar. Good. So we even now. What's that word?
Holy.
Come on, see if we can say it one more time.
Holy.
What's your understanding of holy? Everybody think holy has to do with sex. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Holy got something to do with sex. You can't handle sex. You can't fornicate. You know what I mean? It sounds sexual. You know what I mean? Holy. You know what I mean? Holy. God says, consecrate yourself. In other words, he's saying God has a standard that he has set. This is what holy means. Let me explain it to you. This is what holy means. I've set a standard. Now I want you to live up to it. Now watch this. You don't have to try to live up to it because I've given you the capacity to live up to it. Why? Because you are set apart already when you receive Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So all you have to really do, watch this, is line up. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is yield. All you have to do is get in the word. All you got to do is obey. In other words, if you're going to change, if you're going to bring about change in your life, and if you're going to proceed with change, the first thing you got to do is you have to commit to living holy. I wish I had somebody. Listen, you got to put them liquor bottles down. Yeah, you do. Listen, here's the thing. You got to put some stuff away and see what life is like without it. Let me help you with something. Amen. You got to stay sober for a long period of time to understand how awesome God is. And I'm not just talking about sober with alcohol. I'm talking about sober, drunk with negative thinking. Drunk with an attitude. Drunk high with a negative mind. Amen. With a bad character. I'm talking about that kind of high, that kind of drunk. You follow what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. The moment you put yourself in that mindset, you take yourself from being set apart, amen, to another place in the flesh. And the Bible says when we get up every morning, there's a fight going on. The flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. There's a fight. I want to be holy, but guess what? This thing keep pulling me. I want to do right, but listen, this thing keep pulling me. I want to go forward, but this thing keep pulling me. And here's the thing. How can you move forward and bring about real change when you're never sober? The Bible says be sober, be vigilant. The adversary, the devil, seeks someone to devour. In other words, Satan is after you. But if you are not living or committing to living holy, you want to know why God has you here today? He wants you to know that holy is possible. He wants you to know that you can live holy. That yes, you can live right. Living holy means that you're living a set apart life for him. Sin makes us, watch this, helpless, and it hinders your change. How many want change today? You got to commit to living holy. He says, before we cross this Jordan, now watch this now. It's a picture, really, of baptism. The first generation was baptized into Moses. The second generation is now baptized into Joshua. Y'all ain't catch that. You caught that? Because they're getting ready to cross this Jordan. The man of God has went before them. But he says, if you're going to follow the man of God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. A lot of us are trying to follow God, but we're still holding on to sin. Y'all with me? Listen, it does not mean we're not going to sin. But it means, man, I better try. Come on, how many of you want to try? At least try. We're going to fall short. We're going to, listen, as long as we live, I'm not here to judge you. Because we all got something we're trying to work on. How many of you got some stuff you're trying to work on? You're trying to let go of some stuff. Amen. Amen. Some of you still trying to get rid of the weed bag and all kinds of, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, go a week without it. Just 1 week. Try it. Amen. Turn off the TV. That could be a bad habit right there. Turn off whatever it is. Get rid of some of that stuff that's holding you back and see if change is possible. See, you need a clear head. Uh-huh. Y'all with me? So what's the first thing we got to do? Now he says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate what? See, this is why I say this living holy thing has to be a personal thing. He didn't say, you know, he didn't say, let me consecrate you. He says, consecrate yourself. In other words, it tells me, watch this, you don't have to live in sin. You can do it for your, let's say, you can do it what? Write this scripture down. 1 John 1:9. And every time you pick up that weed stick or that bottle, and you get up the next morning and you're feeling right in your head, you say 1 John 1:9. Lord, forgive me of my sins. But guess what? At some point, God's going to start saying, that's enough now. I done talked to you too many times about this. I'm going to give you over to it. Then that 1 John 1:9 don't work no more. See, because when you turn from sin, you got to turn to something. Come on, somebody. And you got to turn to another way. And that other way is a way that's consecrated. Now watch this. So here's the next point. If you're going to proceed with change, we must what? You have to what? Let me help somebody with something. You got to change your environment. Amen. There's some people that you need to just stay away from. I'm going to say it one more time. You got to separate yourself or else they will taint you again. What God is working on right now through the word of God in your life, Satan has somebody already set up to destroy what God is trying to do in your life. And if you don't separate yourself, we will never proceed with change if we still love the world. And if, watch this, and if we keep allowing people to hold us back. Change can come for you today if you make a commitment. Pastor, I got to separate myself. See, consecration and separation is two different things. Amen. In essence, it means, one, you've set yourself apart for God's purpose, but separating yourself means, watch this, you have a standard. And the standard you have is that you qualify who gets close to you. You qualify, amen, who you let talk to you in your ear. You qualify, amen, the people that tell you stuff. Because if you don't, they will pull you right back to where they are. And let me tell you something about a crab in a bucket. Try to get to the top. He's going to pull you right back down. Are you with me? Now watch this now. Watch this. Watch what he says. I'm almost done. He says, consecrate yourself for what? For when? Tomorrow. Now, a lot of us, the reason that we're not seeing change is because we're too anxious. And not only are we too anxious, but we're not willing to wait on God. See, change is a process. It starts in the heart. And then God still has to deal with our will and our emotion, you know what I mean? Because here's the thing. If you've been attached to something for a very long time, I'm helping you today. I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you here, right? If you just yank it away, try taking that bottle from that baby or that bib. What's it called? The nookie. Yeah. What's pacifier? I'm sorry. Pacifier. You take that, man, that baby starts crying, you know what I mean? Because that baby's so attached to it, right? So process. It's the same thing with us. And so if we're going to proceed with change spiritually, watch this, the next point. Go and say amen. Amen, ouch, amen, or thank you. Which one? Worry is a sin. You want to, listen, as a consecrated, set-apart person, God gonna bless you. There are rewards for living holy. Change won't come if I keep worrying about tomorrow, because the longer I worry about tomorrow, the more I try to do something about it. God isn't asking you to do anything about your tomorrow. He's asking you to put your hands in his hands, and he'll take care of your tomorrow. He's not asking you to fix it. He says, I've already fixed it. But the longer you worry, that's why he says, now tomorrow is going to happen, but you got to have faith to believe that tomorrow is going to come. Come on, somebody. And some of us don't believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today. And oftentimes we worry. Listen, many people miss their change because they're worried. Man, if I stop this, what's going to happen? I never saw myself without a cigarette. I wish I had somebody. Amen. Till the Lord took it and showed me you don't need that. I never thought I would be without an alcohol bottle in my hand. Y'all not hearing me. Never thought I'd stop smoking weed. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. Amen. Because I was so worried, what am I going to do? You know, the mind can play tricks on you. Are y'all with me? Y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. Listen, the mind can play tricks on you. And I'm not just talking about being worried about money. I'm talking about just worried, period. Some of us, we just worry. That's all we do. We just worry. We worry so much, that's just, that we're worried about change. We're so worried. We're worried about change, and change never comes. Why? Because tomorrow is so scary to us that, watch this, we worry too much about it. And I want to say to somebody here today, change is coming. But may I say something to you? You're not holy if you worry. Why? Because the Bible says anything done without faith is sin. And if you're going to worry, that's sin. And you may be saying, well, I'm living right, Pastor. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But guess what? Things are still going wrong for me. Things are still falling apart. Check your worry level. What you worried about? Amen. Matthew 6:33. What does it say there? Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. You worried about a job? God's got a job for you. Amen. Amen. You just got to change locations. Come on, somebody. Stop going to the same place filling out an application. Ain't that something? They ain't hiring you. Hello? Hello? Listen, the thing that you're trying to force is the thing that God is trying to move you out of. Come on, somebody. You still applying and they still saying no. And God is saying, listen, I got something better for you, but what you got to do is you got to stop worrying about it and get out of your comfort zone. And guess what? Trust me, set apart yourself, separate yourself from the nonsense, live holy, and guess what? I'm going to bless you. There are benefits and blessings for living holy. Are y'all with me? Look what he said. Look what he said. For tomorrow, I'm almost done. I got one, two more points. Why is it? This is the part that I really like right here. Look what he said. But tomorrow, the what? What does it say? I'm going word by word today. The what? Stop right there. Who?
The Lord.
The who?
The Lord.
The Lord. That's right. The Lord. Who's going to do it for you? Turn to your neighbor and say, who's going to do it for you? Then look at the word and say, what? The Lord. Who's going to do it for you? Let me see if y'all got that. Who's going to do it for you? Who's going to bring the change? Who's going to pick you up? Who's going to turn you around? Who's going to place your feet? Stop ignoring him. Stop ignoring him. Stop saying you got this or you trying to figure it out. Y'all know you're smart, but God made you. And guess what? God already outsmarted you when he made you. The Lord. So he says, I'm consecrating myself for tomorrow, the Lord, the I am of the I am. If you want to proceed with change, the next thing you got to do is you have to trust God and not yourself. And that's what's happening with most people today. They're trusting in themselves. They're believing that the change is going to come because they're bringing the change. If you want to proceed with change, you got to trust God that he'll bring you to a place, hallelujah, where he wants you. I want to say to somebody here this morning that you got to trust God. I ain't worried about that. We got to trust God and not ourselves. You can shut those off, though. And when you separate yourself, you'll find out that it's the Lord that will bring you through. Do I have anybody? And somebody here this morning, I want to tell you that it was the Lord that picked you up. It was the Lord that brought you this far by faith. It was nobody but Jesus. It was nobody but Jesus. It was nobody but El Elyon. It was nobody but Jehovah Jireh. You know him. You know Jehovah Jireh. It was nobody but Jesus that broke down those barriers in your life. It was Jesus that brought you this far. You want change this morning. You got to trust God. You got to stop trusting yourself. You got to put self is unreliable. Self will deceive you. Self is all about self. But God will bring you through. Do I have anybody here today that understand how powerful he is? He is a God that can make a way out of no way. He's a God that can be trusted. He's a God that never failed me yet. He's a God that will pick you up. He's a God that will turn you around. He's a God that will transform your life. You got to believe in this God. You got to trust him in spite of what you're going through. You got to believe that tomorrow is already handled by God. He's a God of today. He's a God of tomorrow. He's a God of yesterday. He's a God of your future. The Lord. He says, the Lord. The Lord. Watch what it says next. Will do wonders. among you. Here's the last point. I'm going to give it to you in a minute. But you got to realize something. That sometimes we don't wait around long enough to see our change. And sometimes we don't stay around long enough to experience the miracle. See, your change is going to be a miracle. Come on, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, my change is going to be a miracle. My change is going to be so unbelievable. Y'all working me today. I see y'all working the preacher today. But your change is going to be so miraculous that you will have to give credit to God. You can't raise that child by yourself. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. You can't live your life by yourself. You cannot continue by yourself. It's going to be the Lord. And when he does it, you'll know it's him. You know why? Because the last thing is, if you're going to proceed with change, you have to expect a miracle. Your change is going to be miraculous. I'm not what I used to be. Thank God for that. I'm not what I used to be. And I thank God for that. You know why? Because I expected a miracle. And somebody here today, you stop expecting. You're not expecting anymore. You've given up. Oh, come on, help me now. You've given up on your change. You have accepted what everybody has said, that you'll never change. Anybody ever heard that? And you've already talked to yourself. Self is who is defeating you. That's why people don't talk to you no more. Amen. Self. But you got to expect a miracle. You see, when you live holy, when you live a separated life, when you stop worrying and you start trusting him, John, you're going to see a miracle. Your money is funny, God can fix that. I'm saying that one time for you, he'll fix that. You got relational problems, he'll fix that. You got mental problems, he'll fix that too. He'll stop by and fix that too. You got a heart problem, he'll fix that. But let me share something with you. The heart that refuses to change can never see a miracle. You see, there was a true story that happened a number of years ago. An airplane took off by itself. Went up in the air and it flew for 90 miles. And then it crashed. It took off on its own and flew 90 miles, and then it crashed. Without God, you could take off for a while. Without God, you can fly high for a while. Without God, you can get off the runway. Amen. And you can go high. You can make a name for yourself. You can build a career for yourself. And you can go for a little while without God. But there comes a time when you're going to have to land. I wish I had somebody. And when you run out of fuel, your landing is going to be harder than your takeoff. So before you take off, make sure God is in charge. Before you take off, make sure God is the shot caller in your life. Come on, somebody. Before you take off, make sure you've submitted to him. Before you take off, make sure that he's the one flying. Because if he isn't, you're going to crash. And that crash, hallelujah, will destroy you. See, somebody here today, you want change. You do. You're tired. You're sick and tired of the same old stuff. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of old same stuff. Same people, same circumstance, same situations. Today, you got to take a step forward and say, Lord, I'm willing to consecrate myself for change. I want to change, and I'm willing to change. And if you want to come today, here's your decision moment. If you want to come today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your change will come. I want to pray that you can expect a miracle today, right now. First step is making the decision. Pastor, I'm ready for change. Amen. If you're ready for change today. Pastor, I don't know what it means to be all spiritual and things like that. Amen. But guess what? You can make a start today. You don't have to be theological, psychological, emotional. This is a decision that you have to make because you want to be different. And you want to experience a miracle today. Would you come?